Is that? You can take it. I think there are more. Take it. What's that? There was more there. Okay.
Oh no.
Chazanish was last Shabbos. Chazanish will be a base of that last year.
Kind of.
The news right now is it's coming in that they may have died. Okay, I mentioned that from time to time we would try to summarize parts of the Sosa Sharm so that that would become part of the, for those who want that to be the their safe and mercy to be part of the Libra. And the main goal is to set a pace so one gets beyond the first few prakim. Many people often get past the first few prakim but not further beyond that. So M'chal in the Hakadamah to Mesilta Sharon addresses by two major ideas. The first is the importance of the Sefer, which later on will be seen as the importance of learning Musa. Of course, the Ramchal preceded the Musa movement. The Ramchal preceded the Rishos Lando. But the Sefer became the major, and certainly initial Sefer, and probably to this day remains the central sefer in the Musa learning, even to the extent, and this is a surprise, even to the extent beyond Pirkei Avos and beyond Mishlei and beyond Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avos and on Mishlei. We have a little bit of resurgence in recent times with the reprinting of the Sfarim. The first point that the Mesilta Sharon makes, which is very, very famous, is that that everything that he's going to say in the Sefer is well known. And that the purpose of the Sefer is to remind people about that which is well known. As one goes through the Sefer, one sees that it's not entirely accurate for our own time. There are many ideas which the Ramchal will address, which are not the Dvarim of Fusavim. Later on in the Sefer, the Ramchal discusses the idea of Siyogim, and when it's appropriate to take on certain kinds of Chumras. On the other hand, there are ideas which are the Dvarim of Fusavim, and therefore the purpose of writing them down is to have a record of certain ideas and to create almost a curriculum of constant review. The Ramchal says that just as these things are very, very well known, so they're also very often overlooked. So the purpose is more as a record. And that also is something that we will see is quite accurate, that I think much of the, between the Mesilta Sharon and the Derech Hashem, so much of what has become core Hashkofa is contained within many of the ideas of the medieval thinkers has become sort of filtered through the writings of the Ramchal. And that's what the Ramchal writes, that the purpose of the Silsa Shoram is not to be a one-time read, but it only is of value if it becomes part of an ongoing curriculum, so to speak. Now, then he explains a phenomena which I am old enough to remember very, very clearly. I don't know if you've seen this. Ramchal writes, and the second point that he makes is that the ideas that are contained in the Sefer, and the thinking about these ideas and analyzing them, those are left to a very small group of people. They're left to a group of people which are usually seen as not the greatest intellects. And he says that's one of the reasons why the ideas that are embodied in Ramchal, in the Silsa Shoram, and later on became embodied in the Musar movement, but did not receive the popularity which they should have received. He writes that people get more excited about what we would call lomdus, get more excited about analyzing things and understanding either aspects of nature, each one in his own nitiya, or when it comes to learning, whether it's what he calls pupul alochos, midrashim, piskeidinim, but very few get excited about learning with analysis different aspects, the ideas of avas Hashem and yiras Hashem and the vekas. So that's a phenomenon that I still remember, because I was still to learn from any rebbein that came through, to learn in Europe. And in the Litvish world, so Musa was not something that was that attracted that much concern. It goes back to the advent of the Musa movement that was very much fought, and many Litvish yeshivas, they fought, they did not want to have a Musa Seder at all. And usually the reason that was given, that was explained to us, is that in the thinking of the Litvish Yeshiva, so that which Musa was to accomplish could be accomplished by learning seriously. And in other words, that the goal of a Seder Musa is probably a twofold goal. One is to focus on developing better midos, better character traits, and the other is to focus on the Vekas, on having experiences and living a life which is much more entwined with the Ribbono Shel. So, the leadership of the Litvish Yeshivas, it's often attributed to Reb Chaim, in part to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and sometimes in part to Reb Chaim Soloveitcher. Reb Chaim Volozhiner obviously predated the Musar movement. But the leadership of the Litvish Yeshivas understood that if one is immersed in learning, yeah. Why do you have to talk about it if you're doing it? Learning and is the greatest form of being at one with the Ribbono Shel, thinking about his machshavos, understanding his his ideas. So how could there be a greater form of dveikus than that? And certainly when it comes to davening, right? To a great extent, that was at the core of the debate between the Misnagdim and the Hasidim. One of several issues was why focus on ideas of Tzedekus when just learn. Right, so that was when it came to Misnagdim and Hasidim, it was a little bit different because they were looking at different populations. When it came to Musar and the Yeshiva, that was one of the major issues, ad kinei kach, that in Litvish Yeshivas it was absolutely discouraged to have a Musa Seder. And for example, it was a non-concept. I was a Talmud in our Yeshiva, so Musa Seder was a non-concept. It wasn't, didn't happen. When rarely saw, say, from Musa Seder, on the table. This was not within, not on our radar screen. And that was the way that Rishi Shivas ran. It was not part of one's thinking. So and the Mesil Shasharm predates all of this. Right? And what Mesil Shasharm describes that Musar was seen as something which was unattractive from an intellectual perspective. So that is certainly some. Musa was seen as something which was it was simplistic, it was certainly simple, it was shallow, it didn't require a tremendous amount of idiom, it didn't require a lot of any analysis. So it was something that, as the Ramchal writes, and this goes back 2 centuries earlier, that the focus on Yerushalayim and Avishon as an independent focus, the Brisker Rav was defended his father's sheet and said, of course my father was in favor of learning Musa. He just didn't, it wasn't like the Nusach of Yisrael Salanta. Right? So what I assume the Brisker Rav said, the Brisker Rav's Lashon in Yiddish was that a person who doesn't learn Musa will always be stuck in the mud and the thoughts of Olam Hazeh. That was his Lashon. But what I understand him to have been saying is, of course, everybody was focused on Dveikus, but it's a different way of achieving these goals by focusing on a tough sugya and a tough Tosaf and a tough Rambam. So how could that not be Dveikus? And the Musar approach was to actually have a set time when one focuses on the issues of Dveikus and Yerushalayim and Avishai as a separate mode of thought. So Ramchal describes so what happens is that the those who are less intellectually inclined get attracted by Musa learning. Those who are more intellectually inclined get attracted by learning whatever B'chol Anfel, whether it's Psak or whether it's Lamedus or whether it's Pekiyus and Thalajas, whatever it is. So over time what happens is that those who are focused on the issues of Musar and Yerushalayim are the less intellectually inspired. So then their approaches to achieving these goals become less intellectual and less exciting. So he says, so the Ramchal writes in the Ramasim, Ulam Tobas Amin HaGazeh, Rose Ma'od, he says, so what happened was is that the Yerushalayim, Avishalayim became identified with fasting, with snow rolling, with going to mikvah all the time, with saying Tehillim all the time. So when it becomes identified with that, so that becomes practices that are not intellectually attractive in any way, and may not be attractive at all to people whose thought is based on intellectual approaches and Western approaches, to some extent. So the worlds came apart. So the Lit, again, this is predating the Litvish world, but those who were focused on, let's say, learning, whether it's learning in our form of learning or whether it's secular learning, so they would look down on those who were more interested in, who would spend time on the issues of Hasidus and the Vegas. And over time, the position became well justified, because the group who was focused on Hasidus and on the Vegas was a less intellectually inspired group. And then what they did, was making less and less sense. So the world separated, and each one sort of became established on its own, and the learning world would appropriately almost look down at the world that focused on these inyanim. So that's the background of the Ramchal. And that's why the Mesil Shasharim, coming from, was such a daring, a courageous Sefer, because he wanted to break the mold of thinking. He wanted to. He was trying to establish a sort of a beachhead in the what later on became the literature world. But all these things were well established before Musser and the literature yeshivas went head to head on it. Right? And of course, we know, we can now look back over time that the Musser movement was highly successful in establishing yeshivas already in Europe, where there was Bialystok, right? And the Marduk, right? So Bielsa was extremely successful to make inroads into the yeshivish world. Probably because of their approach, was one that was more inclined with, more in tune with the yeshivish world. And then, after the Holocaust, so the reestablishment of the yeshiva, so we know now that it's a rare yeshiva, it's only the diehard yeshivas that got a Muslim star. I assume that Brisk probably doesn't have it. I'm not sure about Volozhin and Yerushalayim if they have it or not. They probably do have it. So that's where the Ramchal is trying to. That's where he's coming from, and that is the boldness of the Sefer. And the truth is that many say that the Ramchal would not have been successful. It was too hard a fight. It was an uphill battle, and if not for the Vilna Gaon. Not for the Vilna Gaon giving his tremendous encouragement to Sefer Masilas Yesharim and seeing tremendous depth in it, it probably may not have been misleading. So that's the first comment. The second comment of the Ramchal, and you see that, by the way, the first two issues we mentioned go tie it together, because the first Ta'or of the Ramchal is my Sefer is a Sefer whose only value the no chidushim, the value is repetition. Well, that's what made it so unattractive to a world that was excited about new ideas and creative ideas. And we find it hard to do chazara on Lomdus, right? And we find it hard to do chazara on a Gemara that we've seen maybe four or five times, and a Gemara that we've just learned. So, if a Sefer says that there's nothing new in this Sefer, you only will gain from it by going over and over and over, so that becomes a something of less attractive. The Ramchal makes a strong argument, but so what he wants to accomplish, focusing on Yiras Shemayim, Avos Shemayim, Chasidus, Hanhogas, which are of a high and noble character, and the Vekas. These are at the roots. He says Hayatochen, and this is a method that the Ramchal uses throughout the Sefer. Hayatoch, how are we going to defend ourselves? The Achamei of Esrim. Because even if we're able to establish ourselves as Lamdonim, as Tamnei Chachamim, as people who gain tremendous, but if we're not successful in Avashvam, Yirishvam, in refining the our modes of behavior, so then have we really accomplished the that which the Baruch Hu wants us to accomplish? Shamchal says, Shamamelach says, that if you will seek it out as one seeks out silver and treasures, then you'll understand Yiras Hashem. So he says, it doesn't say, then you'll understand philosophy, you'll understand medicine, you'll understand law, you'll understand halachos. Oz to ben Yiras Hashem. So here the Ramchal, one thinks about it carefully, one sees that what the Ramchal is saying is that Yiras Hashem does require a tremendous amount of Iyun. Im tevakshenu chakoseh v'chatmonim techapsenu oz tov in Yiras Hashem. The Ramchal is, and that, to a great extent, may be why in our own time almost everybody has come to appreciate the value of some form of Muslim. What I mean by that? I'm speculating, I would suggest, that with the advent of psychology, and with the appreciation, the popular appreciation of the last century, that a person can only achieve changes in one's mode of behavior through an analysis of one's own behavior. So that established that the learning of Musar is not something which is shallow and trite. But if one is repeating ideas over and over again, well, that's behavior modification. Right. That's a whole field of modern psychology. If one understands that to achieve any growth in hanhagos, any growth in behavior, one's going to have to delve into oneself. So that was one of the major insights and accomplishments of Freud and his whole school. And even though the particular Freudian approach is out of style now, but that the concept that one only can achieve changes in behavior by great thought and great effort and great insight, that certainly is still much a part of Western thought. So what the Ramchal is arguing over here is that in Tevachshena, that Shlomo Melech pointed out that Yerushalayim does require a tremendous vikush, a tremendous amount of work and insight. And to a great extent, that might be why in our own time the argument between the Musar schools and the Lutheran schools has primarily been put to rest. I mean, either it's because the Lutheran schools have come to recognize that one does require a specific focus on Avishman and Yerushalayim, and that it's not going to happen by itself just through learning. Perhaps it's because the group who is learning now is such a broad group that it's not a sort of an elite spiritual group that has worked on themselves already and therefore don't know how to impact right away. I'm not sure why. I believe it could be because we've come to appreciate that the changes in behavior and in growth in behavior require a tremendous amount of insight and work. And that's what the Ramchal is advocating of here. Ramchal then closes with a two-part agenda. One is to establish the ideas he wants to focus on, based on the pasuk "V'yatoy Yisrael Hashem lekecha shol imcha ve'imach kim nira Hashem lekecha v'lechus b'chol drachem avos esav v'lavodas Hashem lekecha v'chol levavchem v'chol nafshcha v'shmoros mitzvos Hashem zukoyso." So he divides that pasuk up into several goals: Yira Shemayim alicha v'drachem avos shleimus saleim and shmiras mitzvos. And then, and he says that is the goal based on the pasuk of Devarim. And then he says that that one only achieves these goals by a step by step approach. And then he bases and the sefer therefore is established around the statement of Pinchas ben Yoyer. And he goes to the steps of Zahirus and Zahirus and so on. So the point being that that one can only achieve these things by moving from step to step. One cannot. That's part of the introspection which is required in the understanding of what. So again, in the Hakdama, the Ramchal establishes the value or the validity of a sefer. He establishes the courage that he required in writing the sefer. Is he was trying to change a world. He's trying to change an approach. An approach which, again, I don't know if you've experienced it, but I certainly remember it very, very clearly that many, if not most of my rebbeim were not at all concerned with the Seder of Musa. They were very concerned with Yerushalayim and Ava Shemayim and Tzedekus, but it wasn't something that was spoken about, and again it was seen, it was relegated to a group that was not intellectually inspired. So the Ramchal was addressing something that trying to change. And I don't know, again, I don't know if the Mechal would have been successful on his own. It was such a major change. And it's very possible that this change only came full circle, it was only successful because Western thought created the notions, it gave us the notions of that this too requires insight, this too requires a great intellectual effort. Okay, so let's look at the Ayin Hei Mel. Atzot Zvitan Rabbanan and Raisa, Atzot Chilozin Ba'apoitze in the Chayiv Alachas. Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chaim Shtayim. Shehoi Rabbi Yehuda Omer Psiv Bachal Disha, Omoloi Psiv Bachal Disha. That's the machlokes on the second chiyuv chatas. What is the first chiyuv chatas? Hatzod chilozim ha'apoytzoi in the chayim alachas. Nope. Seida. Alright? So on Seida, there's no machlokes. So lechayim on Seida, there's no chiddush. So Tosfos wants to know, so why bother saying at Sod Chilozim Apoitzei? It should say Apoitzei Chilozim. No? We call at Sod Chilozim looks like a red herring. Who needs to know at Sod Chilozim? Apoitzei Chilozim. Apoitzei Chilozim. Tanakami Meir. Apoitzei Chilozim. Oser. And then he said they rise him. Or Mutter. Lefzor Chilozim. Whatever the din is. If you know him, Chayim Chad. No? So Tosfos says, "L'man d'moik yilosh b'shapot zichai." We'll learn next week's machlekes whether the chilazin was killed first, or whether the chilazin was squeezed while it was still alive. Machlekes, right? Because the Gemara is going to be concerned that the tilis neshama is not listed over here. It should be atzod chilazin v'apoytzayin. So what happened to killing the fish? So that the Gemara doesn't deal with. And that the Gemara, that the Brisa doesn't record. So the Gemara says either because Poitzei Chai, or because the Tilis Hashama, it happens to Davis Asif. So that we'll discuss next week in Tilis Hashama. But let's focus on this issue of Tzedos Chilozim. So the Tosfos says, Laman do Moikilo Pesha Poitzei Chai, Osi Shapir, but the Nogar Atzot Chilozim. But there are points in Biyan. Biyan Achetzel. Kol Zman Shulchan. But Kamash Mulan, that the Bishop Batsu Chai, the Loi Mechayiv, Mishun and Tilis Neshama. So if you'll tell me that it's Tzils Chai, so how is that communicated in the Braisa? So it's communicated by saying, Atzod Chilozin Apoitza. We're doing it right away. Atzod Chilozin, doesn't say Atzod Chilozin Ve'ahor Goy Ma'apoitza. Atzod Chilozin, so you learn right away that the tziyah was done right after tzeda. So the purpose of the tzeda was simply, the purpose of writing at Tzad Chilozin was not to tell me anything about tzeda per se. It was simply to tell me that it's tziyas chai, so therefore there's no tzeda sasham. So there's no chiddush ledina at Tzad Chilozin. It's just to give me that information. However, so that is a tremendous chiddush. Because that tzod chilozin means that tzod chilozin ba'arhorgei ba'apoitzei. Right? That's what it means. It has to mean that. Because we're watching this fisherman take the chilozin. So we're watching him take it, pick it up, snatch it or kill it, depending if it's a snail or if it's a squid, and then getting the, and then being poitzeya. And then getting the, and then we're saying, well, he caught it, he killed it, and he squeezed it. So we're only mechayiv him at most two. So what happened in Tilis Neshama? So Kamash, he says, if you'll say Lamanda Omar, Tilamanda Omar, the Michael Kishvatzim Eis, So from Mashulon, the loymachayim would say the shaloy mishum tzilus neshama. The alpha gav neminu perik shemen shiratzim. So the absence of the tzilus neshama is two halachas. One is a halacha which the Gemara developed, so we'll leave for next week. That for some reason there's the tzilus neshama, and the tzilus neshama is not recorded, is not considered, because it's only v'sasi l'gabi neviga, right? But then there's another halacha over here. What happened to the tzeid itself? The chilozin the hafish, right? So the tzeid of the chilozin, or at least the, let's not use the word tzeid right now. See, no, but the retrieval of the chilozin should be the tzeid neshama. You take a fish out of water, you're killing it. So what happened to that tzeid neshama? So you'll tell me, next week we'll learn that when he was squeezing, he was trying to keep it alive. But he did grab it out of water. So why isn't that called Natil's Neshama? So apparently it is not called Natil's Neshama. So there's no Natil's Neshama, in the squeezing of it. He's squeezing it to death. It's not Natil's Neshama because he's interested in keeping it alive. But taking the chilotin out of its natural habitat, isn't that Natil's Neshama? So it'll happen. He takes a fish out of water, and he gives it CPR, trying to keep it alive a little longer. All right. So while he's giving it CPR, he's not going to be chayv into the shum. But ultimately, he killed it by removing it from the water. So there isn't tils neshama over there. The Tosfos says, "Kamashul b'machayev b'tzei the shaloyim yishulin tils neshama." The Afal Gav, the Arena, the Perik Shemini Shiratzim, Hashem the Dogmin Ayom, Kevon Shiyoveishvod. That when one takes a fish from the water, it's the Gemara just before the Gemara we learned yesterday. So once the fish becomes dry, he's chayu because of the neshama. Right? Apparently, as we have to look at this a little more carefully, in light of Chaschinach and the Rishash, Lagav Yafia and Zeveya. Whether it becoming dry is a tanai in the malacha, whether it's safe in malacha, not for now. But what's clear is by fishing, one is over the tilas neshama. Hashay le dog min hayom kevin sheyom yishboi, so he's chayo because of tilas neshama. So now the question is, why is that not recorded in the braisa? Hatzod chilos in rapoi, so again. And suddenly he loves him at point, so Tosfos starts off by pointing out there must be some reason for recording at suddenly loves him, because the discussion in the sugi is only at psias chilazim. So what is that suddenly loves him? So the first teretz says, well, it wants to teach us that it's potzechai. So there is nothing else to be learned from at suddenly loves him at point. Suddenly loves him and chayev etzeda. Right? He points the chai, so if it dies, and there's a... he's maintaining it alive when he does pitzia. But if you said, sadchi lozoin, v'ha horgoin, v'ha poitzoi, ena chai v'loacha, so then you have another chiddush. There's no netilis neshama legabe, the chi lozoin, why not? So again, Tosfos is saying, of course I know there's a Gemara over here that and the Gemara discusses that. But in this Brisa, why isn't he held responsible for killing the Chilazim? So the Tzarachiyon, so he says, Shema chilozin darke lefarkes ule kare b'sasa. Very difficult terrace. What does it mean? No, what did you say?
It struggles too much with itself.
So it brings about its own misa.
It's still situation,
No. So Tosfos is saying that would be one of the chidushim over here. Darkel of the chilosin is unusual. The darkel of farches ולקרב מסוסי. בצורך איון דבירושלמי משמע, בצוד חילוזן למחאי משום צדו. בצורך איון דבירושלמי is חלק in our סויסוס. There are two issues in the סויסוס. Right? Two issues. The first issue is that a chidush, that if something is mefarcheis u'mekarev misosoi, so then we are not chayav for netilas nishmosoi. Right? That's the first chidush of here. And the second issue which Tosfos raises, which is the one that I want to focus on, is that a machlokes bavli Yerushalmi, whether there's an iser tzeda, the God Bechilozim. Son Chilozim and Chayim Mishum Tzeyna. When? Because that remains to be seen. Well, we don't know yet. We don't know what the Chilozim was. We have many, many Simonim. The famous vision of Rebbe thought that the Chilozim was a kind of a squid. And heavily believe that the original Rebbe was incorrect. The original Rebbe invested a tremendous amount. He almost definitely, especially went from Rishon to Italy, where they built some kind of aquarium. In Italy, they built some kind of observation, underwater observation deck. So he thought that was the Chilozim. And the squid was a chilozim, and that the squid's black ink was, when treated, became the chilozim. The reason why the original Rebbe's approach is heavily disputed by anybody other than the original Hasidim is because when the Rama writes that you have to mix things together, the chilozim is not the chilozim comes straight from the chilozim. You have to mix various things together. So the vision of Rebbe mixed various things together. So apparently after, I think it was after the war. Yeah, I think it was after the Second World War. That they had a record of the vision of Rebbe's recipe for chelas. So I forget when this happened. And if it's wrong in England, I'm not sure. But when they used the recipe without putting in the squid dye, it also turned out to be blue.
They said it was from the heat, so they cooked it to very hot temperature.
Right, it was the chemical reaction that created the blue. Now, the truth is, the original Hasidim would still argue that maybe that may not disprove what Chil is supposed to be.
It wasn't a pretzel.
Makes it, was there?
It was a pretzel.
I don't know if he did the experiment. He was away, maybe. He could be away, so so can argue now that there are two contributions to the blue. I don't know. Anyway, that was the major Shadow Bonarga. So Vertzik, who was who became the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, so he spent a lot of time. Vertzik was a very unusual person, a genius who was very, very accomplished in the secular world as well. So he spent a lot of time and published more than one book on the and what chilozim is, and he studied from a chemical base and then from a fish science base, and he came to the conclusion that it's probably a snail of some sort. And that's the approach which Eretz Yisrael has very much developed recently. That they found that in the areas that would belong to Zebulun, that coast, they found a lot of these snails, and they also found archaeologically they found some chelas dyeing wool. And apparently in the similar, and not so far away from it, they found a lot of cracked snail husks. So for numerous reasons, Vertzik felt very strongly, argued very strongly that the chilozim of the snail Alright? Now, so with what the Herald is saying, what Tzvi's saying, is a very, very strong horror over here. Why is that? Because if it's a snail, boom. So then, who's that? What's that? Why not? Snails are alive. What's that?
It comes out of the water.
Again? I was thinking about something else. I was thinking about the Seder aspect. Right. And I was thinking, right. I was thinking about, what's that? And Echanami, in other words, so Daniel is saying is that there's no Seder by Echilazim. Or no longer step by step. That aura thing is a very important aura. In the Tils of Shom, we have to just, I don't know what snails live outside of water. I'm not sure. They live down below outside of water. I don't know. Actually, they do live outside of water. But now we can check out. Okay, we'll find
out. One of the Mephoshim in the back says that like the Chilazim was able to travel to the mountains or something also.
Yeah, but then maybe, no, there is a Gemara that says that they found the Chilazim all the way over the beach leading up to the hills. But I don't know if that means that the Chilazim traveled or the water washed it in. I thought it meant the water washed it in when the water left it. So becoming, so that I don't know. Over the weekend we'll look into that. But I was thinking in terms of the, I mean certainly I'll tell you, to say that a snail's mafar case is hard to imagine. But talking a little bit. But when it comes to tzeda, so that's a very important aura right now. Why is that? Because how is tzeda defined? What's the definition of tzeda? No, go ahead. Correct. How do you know that? Mishnah where? Yeah? I would say Mishnah Bay, third paragraph of Bayah. Right? What's that? So the Mishnah says, Ganevi? What's that? Right. What Andrew's referring to is by Tzad Tzvi. That's also correct. The definition of Tzeda is that when is something called Nitzot? In other words, Lu Yitzuyer, you have a goldfish in a bathtub, right? Is it nitzot? Let's say you have a bird flying around this room. So is the bird nitzot? If the bird is nitzot, so what did he get it? Then getting it would not be tzeda. Ain't tzeda, achat tzeda. It's either it's trapped, it's not trapped, right? So if an animal is not trapped, so then trapping it is an easy day, right? So the animal's trapped. Then accessing the animal is not tzeda. Mara says you have a cow. There's no tzeda lagabi a cow. The cow's there already. But Mara says in the Bayah there's no tzeda by any animal which comes back to roost every day. Because it's coming back anyways. So you have to wait a little while, it's coming back. That's not called tzeda. Tzeda is when something is inaccessible to you and you are confining it. Right? So Gemara says, the shiur the Gemara gives, if you can get the animal in one fell swoop, it's called nitzot. If your animal is in a corral, and you go into the corral and you got the animal, then it was nitzot before Shabbos. Then taking the animal into the corral, that is the malach of tzeda. And once the malach of tzeda is being done, so then you're allowed to exit in Shabbos. You have a huge carp in a bathtub. Right? So, taking the carp out of the water, that was Seder. Now the carp is this big plastic bag with lots of water. It's going to live for a long time. So that you're allowed to take that on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's not called Nitzot. Right? You have a cat sitting in its basket. Right? So picking up the cat is Muktzot, it's Mishnah Balachai, but it's not Seder. The cat was there. If the cat runs away, then you have to chase after it, and it gives you a good run, and it's not going to come home tonight. So then, catching that cat is an Isa Deraisa Tzeda. So Tzeda is trapping an animal, confining an animal. But if the animal is already confined, then getting the animal, that's not Tzeda. Dog's on a leash. Right? So holding on to the leash is not Seder. other issues, whether it's Hitzah, there's no Eruv and things like that, but it's not Zeva. Hitzah and Muktzah, but not Zeva. So now what Daniel is saying, I thought it's a very good Ahara. Is there any such thing as Zeta by a snail? If it's a squid, right, there could be a problem with Zeta. But if it's a snail, is there such a thing as Zeta? So now we have what I want to focus on right now is the second issue of Tosfos. The first issue is there Netilas Neshama? So our Gemara is assuming that there is. Tosfos is saying that would be a Machlekes. Whether potzei chai or potzei meis, potzei chai you can say whatever you want. Potzei meis, so there is no tilas neshama gabi chilase. Why not? All right, so it's something to do with the way the chilase acts when it gets caught. It's a makarav misaser. Maybe it'll kill itself. All right, but so that's Taisus there. It's hard to understand. But then Taisus quotes the Yerushalmi. We have to understand. That there's a machlek is bound to Yerushalmi whether there is seder lagabe chilazon. So our Gemara says that son chilazon is chayuk, and the Yerushalmi says that at son chilazon is potter. But Yerushalmi says even more than that. What does Yerushalmi really say about seder? No. Go ahead. And therefore. The Rishalmi says, who's having time? Therefore, it's not one of the other malachis. In other words, if there's no tzedel gabi chilozain, and there's no tzedel gabi tachash, then there's no tzedel mishkan. So the Rishalmi's comment, the machlek is in the Rishalmi. Machlokes is in Yerushalmi whether catching a chilazon is called seder. Let me insert for a moment that we would say that the chilazon is a snail. All right. So we say there's no seder lagavi chilazon. So Yerushalmi says if that's the case, then there's no seder in preparation for Mishkan. Why? What about the tachash? What's that? So that's the machlokes from the Mishnah and the Korban Eidah, the two mafreshim from the Yerushalmi. Why is there no tzedek avitachash? Why is there no tzedek avitachash? So one of the mafreshim says because it was l'sha, and the Yerushalmi says that we don't learn melachos from a melacha l'sha of Mishkan. Right? We'll come back to that. That should fit in very well to what we discussed in Rashi, Siddur the Pas. And hach to have the mission v'chashiva. Right? I'm coming back to the focus right now. So what does the Pnei Moshe say? What does the Pnei Moshe? What does the Korban Eda say? The what? And therefore? No? Go ahead. It came by itself. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the Tachash to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Korban Eda takes that literally. That the Tachash showed up, volunteered for service. Just showed up to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then went away. So therefore there was no Seder Bechlal. The snail, you don't have to trap snails. And you don't have to trap Tachash. So therefore there's no room for Seder Mishkan. Right, this is the Yerushalmi, which is what we discussed, Rav Chaim Goin's approach. You know what? Nope. What? Rav Chaim Goin is that it's a bodice of Mishkan, right? But the Tal pointed out that according to Rav Chaim Goin, the melachos were not retrospective. So either it was done or it wasn't done. So Rav Chaim Goin will say that Tzviya may have been done for the Mishkan, had to be done, right? But not Chelas. Chelas, everybody came with their blue wool from before. So the Rishalmi holds that only those malachas, that's the first thing they tell, right? I mean, you're disappointed that we didn't open up the year with the nagging hakir. So the tells so the tells the aura that that the Yerushalmi holds that the malachis, the obvious malachis, and those malachis which were done, not which had to be done. Right? So therefore, the Yerushalmi says over here that if you hold in machloikis, machloikis, was there tzeda legamich, is catching a chilazon tzeda or not? Right? If catching a chilazon is tzeda, then I have tzeda and mishkan, then tzeda is another malacha. But if catching a chilazon is not tzeda, so catching a tachash is also not, does not deserve to be one of the 39 malachas. So then tzeda is not one of the obvious malachas. Lashon of the Yerushalmi, look it up in Nun Meizim and Aleph in our Yerushalmi. Is that Atzon Chilozin Ulpotzoi, some say Yerchayim 1 and some say Yerchayim 2. If Yerchayim 2, it's Tzeda and Netilas Neshama. If Yerchayim 1, it's only Netilas Neshama. So the Yerushalmi is diametrically opposed to the Bavli. Pum for care from the Bavli. Right? The Bavli holds that there may not be Netilas Neshama, depending on whether you say Potsa Chai, Potsa Meis. But Seida, that's Mefurish, that's Tzorchi Lozen. Right? And the Yerushalmi holds that what? That the Machloik is as to whether there is Seida Bechlau. Everyone holds that there's Netilas Neshama. Seida is a Machloik. You see the Tosfos now. You see Hashatan the Tosfos. The Tosfos is saying, what was the Kash of the Tosfos? It's just a textual comment. What was the Kash of the Tosfos? Who needs to say a Tzorchi Lozen? Tell me, Apoitzeh Chilozen, but so there's no Machloikas. So what the Tosfos is saying is three auras really. The aura number one is that if you say Apoitzeh Chai, so Atzot Chilozen had to be there to teach you that it's Potzeh Chai. If you say Potzeh Meis, so Atzot Chilozen is teaching within that there is no Chiv in the Tilis Neshama. The tremendous chiddush goes against the Yerushalmi, right? And it's hard, and they have to machanish mafarkis, it's not machayiv. And then Tosfos makes a third comment. He sneaks it in there. He says that Tzon Chilozin is a tremendous chiddush, because the way the Bavli treats the Brisa is to take for granted that there is Tzedas Chilozin. You can't take it for granted. The Yerushalmi is a machloikas, machloikas tanon. If there's Tzedas Chilozin altogether, and based on that machloikas, is whether you'll have tzedas one of the obvious malachis. So that last comment, the tzorach iyun, the Yerushalmi put the tzorach iyun, saying the tzorach iyun, that's being merameins, that there's a tremendous chiddush in the tzad chilazin. That tzedas, there is such a thing as tzedas chilazin. So let's go step by step. Let's try to understand this. There is a... The Magen Avraham quotes in Tov Tzani Zayin, I think in the Marav HaKomos, quotes the Maharshal. The Maharshal says there is no tzeda legabe dogim. The Peladik of Maharshal. Go ahead.
The Beit Talmud said that he wasn't a dog.
So you're asking a question?
Yeah, depends how you want to look at it. It could be a teres.
Okay, go ahead.
No,
it's teretz.
Well,
teretz,
the way to
say it's
a dog.
Well,
I mean,
no, well,
come on.
It could be a chlokes b'al mishalmi, whether the chilozim was a squid or a dog, whether it's a squid or a snail.
Well, it's a dog, yeah.
It's hard to imagine. I'll tell you why. Because in the time of the Tanoim, we still had the chilozim. We lost the chiles in the late time of Meron. In the Roman time, in Rav still had chilas, Like Adram, in the early Roman times, chilasin was probably more rare. We lost the chilasin because the Romans made a rule that only the royalty can use chilasin, use chains. It became chiyav misa, it became the Romans prosecuted. Gemara tells a story that I think was Rava was a family bringing, I think it was Rava, you know, I think it was a tekufa of Rava that somebody was caught bringing bringing chelas, I think from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and he was put into prison and they were going to kill him. The Gemara says that they were one of them were wrong with Mispalo that they should let him go. So there's a Gemara in heaven. Right? So the Gemara says why so the Rashi explains. Because the Romans said that only the royalty are allowed to have chelas. And anybody else has chelas, that's a violation of the royal color. So the so that's what it'd be hard to imagine. Shalom is before the Bafra. Oh, that could be Tosis Hezver. Okay, that's correct. But to say that that's a machlekes of Yerushalmi is hard to say. That's hard to say. To say that that's the way that the Yerushalmi were working with the notion that it was a dog and not a snail. But back to Chernobyl. Okay, anyways, let's come back to this. What have we said? So we have this, so the Rishalmi writes, the Machlekes probably Tandarim, but whether Chilazon is whether it's Sevel Gabi Chilazon or not. Alright, so that in the Rishalmi seems to be a much deeper Machlekes. It's whether Seva is one of the obvious Malachas. Right? Yeah? Ah, so that's a lead after later on. The, you asked me the question, was that? What did he say?
It's
hard, it's
seems
it's after Mishnah Chashiva, that a Moloch has to be Choshev for outside of Mishnah as well, it's Rashi Shita, so therefore it makes sense to have Tzot Tzvi, because the Tachash and Chilazon don't have much significance outside of Mishnah. So, certainly Tachash, Chilazon may be a. So you ask me, so what would the other Rishonim say? And they learn, like the Tam, that a melacha was only chashuv b'seicha mishkan. So why did it say atzot? So you should say atzot. So now we can understand very well. It could be that there may not have been that seidas chilazin. It's machlekes whether it's called seid or not. And we may not have wanted to limit Seva's Chilazon to Seva's Dogim. And Tachash, so they may have done Tachash, they may have been some kind of trapping of Tachash, maybe, in Mishkan. So, when the Tanorm recorded Seva, so if you, so, however we understand how Seda became in the list of the Malachis, it would make sense that they did not want to, they couldn't say Seda per se. I haven't answered this question. The question is why they said a Tzot Tzvi. Right? So we answered according to Rashi. Well, it will be according to the other Rishonim. So it could be that the only way to describe the melacha of tzedis is atzot tzvi. If you say atzon tochash or atzon chilozayin, you're going to define the malacha differently. If you're going to say atzon chilozayin, then you're going to confuse whether it's seder or whether it's in tils neshama. You're going to have two kinds of tils neshama, ashechatai, and a different kind of tils neshama, by starving it, by drying it out. If you say atzon tachash, then it'll simply be pulling the animal close to you. So in order to define what seder is, it has to have tzad tzvi. That becomes part of the definition of malacha. To trap something which otherwise untrapped. So you'll ask me, so where was it Mishkan? So then we have an answer. But that would explain why it's a tzad tzvi. Effie?
Even though they're very slow,
when it comes to fish, when it comes to anything, it has to be, you can get it in one soup. So that's why if you have a goldfish in a bathtub, the problem, that's not neat. That would be an easier tzeder. A carp in a bathtub probably would not be tzeder. I just don't know. My impression of a snail is that you can pick it up. My impression. That's why I don't know. What was that? Okay. That's definitely worthwhile looking into. Okay. Moshe? What was that? I can't hear it.
Why can't we say atzad tzvi is just a mnemonic device to render all the rest of the
law? Very possible. Could be. It's a little bit difficult. So why is it mentioned tzvi altogether? Right? So you say atzad? Why do we need the mnemonic device when it comes to tzeda? That's in a shechit behema. That's on. No, that's why it's.
It's a mnemonic for alliteration purposes. Sense
of it. Shechit, sure. No. So. No. So okay. So again, let's finish this up. There's a. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Marashal. Peledek and Marashal, he says that there is no table of Abu Dogen. So it's Peledek because it's Mefurash Mishnah. And so Dogen and Abivarim, beginning of the third track of Veil. Right? So, and the Magen Avraham says, that he quotes the Marashal saying the reason why Seda's dogim is different is because there it isn't like the Seda that was done in Mishkan. It's also very difficult to understand what Seda was done in Mishkan. I'm not even sure what Seda was done in Mishkan. It's a very difficult comment by the Marashal. Now, Pashas, the Marashal has to say that when the Mishnah says that Sod dogim, that that's a different malacha. That means the malacha of Kreitzer. Right? You have to say that, otherwise it has to be that way. It's a Perish Mishnah. Right? But what the Marshal is apparently saying is that fishing is not a malacha, not a new malacha. Seda, trapping an animal, is a malacha. And trapping a fish will be some other kind of malacha, under some other category. And Marshal's comment is a comment in how we define seder. It's not a comment in fishing. Fishing is also the chiyuv isa deraisa, right? But we'll find a different category for it. It has to be that way, for Shem Mishnah. But seder in Mishkan, the way that we define seder is atzot tzvi. It's a different kind of din. Right? You trap fish in a net. So that is different than trapping an animal in a corral. I'm not sure why, but that's what the Marshal must be saying. So again, what do we have over here? We have that the bodily holds that Seidas Chilozim is an Iser of Seidah. We have the Yerushalmi is a Machlaikas. Whether Seidas Chilozim is an Iser altogether. Okay? That comment in the Yerushalmi says that Shita holds that there was no Seva in Mishkan, and therefore someone there was Malachis. So you have Malachis, we cut all the cuts. According to Bavli, Seva applies to Chilazah and is one of the other Malachis, and according to the Shita in the Yerushalmi, Seva is not a malach l'gabi chilazon, and therefore is not one of the obvious malachos. That's the machlokes is enough. The comment of the Marashal, there's no tzeva l'gabi dogim, l'chayra means that there is a malach of tzeda, most of the obvious malachos, but dogim is trapped so significantly differently than the way other things are trapped, that maybe because it's baited, maybe because it's with a line, I don't know. Tzarechi and Gwala, what he means. Okay? Now, so what's the machleg is Bal Yerushalmi? I mean, what's the machleg is Tanam? If we say that Seda is that the chilazon with a squid, then it's extremely hard to figure out the Yerushalmi stomach. If we say the chilazon with a snail, so then what is my place for the Yerushalmi be? Instead of a squid also, we know more about the squid's living patterns, but for us to picture this. So what's the machlokes taken between the Bavli and Yerushalmi if the tzeda is referring to a snail? Is that what we say?
Is what? So how could you define Seda so that a chilazon should be considered mechusar Seda?
Being able to say
that?
Being able to attain it in a certain way.
Oh, see, the two ways you can look at the act of Seda. You can look at the act of tzeda as confining the animal, or as making the animal accessible to you. Right? It's the same issue. Exact same pa'ula. Just a question of how you look at it. What's tzeda? Putting an animal in a corral. Right? If the animal's in the corral already and you can grab it, that's not called tzeda anymore. It's already nitsa. The birds flying around in this room is not nitsa. Trapping it is tzeda. The birds flying around in a bird cage, it's nitsa, it's not called tzeda. So there are two ways you can argue. You can say tzeda is the act of trapping and confining an animal. Or you can say tzeda is making an animal accessible to you. Same thing. But it makes a world of difference. Because if we'll argue, bring a raya, that it makes sense to say that it's making it accessible. Why? Because the Gemara says if an animal is going to come back tonight, then that's not called Seda. What do you mean it's not called Seda? It's not called Seda when it comes back and when it sits in its basket and goes to sleep. No, I mean it's not Seda when you go out during the day and get it, because it's coming back tonight. So I have to run and sweat to get that animal. And it's not Seda because I can wait a few hours and it can come to me and get it. Right? So you see that the Malach of Seda is making it accessible. If it's accessible to me, it's just a matter of waiting a few hours, but that's not called Seda. Right? So Lanita's Gaifi, we could say the same thing over here. Could be that the way that the Tchelas Chokrim, Tchelas
articles describe that it is the Gemara describes. The Gemara describes that the snails in the water and it gets washed in. And then when the tide goes out, you find these snails beached. Right? So the issue of Zeta is probably when I get the snail while it's in the water. Right? So I have to find it. So it could be that once I find it, maybe it'll be easier to get around to, but I have to go out and look for it, I have to get it. Right? Could be that I'll be able to say this in one of two ways. It could be that the chilozim, if I wait long enough, it'll come up. It's not going to come to my house. It's not the domesticated animal, but it'll become very, very accessible to me. So is that called Seder now? I'm making something accessible to me now. I'm going out to get it. I could wait and it'll get washed up. Is that called Seder? So that's what the Bavli and Yerushalmi are arguing. I'm assuming that if a snail is beached, it can't go any place and pick it up, it's not called Seder. I'm assuming that. But the fact that you go out onto the hill and pick it up, that's not called Seder. I'm assuming that. You can argue otherwise. It's just the act of going to pick it up. I don't think so, but maybe I can hear an argument. But if you go into the water and get it 5 minutes before it gets washed up, right? So I can see the Yerushalmi saying, that's not called Seder. You wait a few minutes, it'll get washed up, it'll be beached. It's like the animal that comes, the domesticated animal which comes home. But that's not called Seder. It's accessible to you already. I can see the Bavli saying that either to say that Seder is the act of confining the animal, as long as the snail is floating in water, it's not confined. I'm confining it by picking it out of the water. It'll go wherever the tide takes it. Or I could see the Bavli saying that Seder is the act of making it accessible. But there's a difference between something which become accessible to you and it's unpredictable and it's unidentified and I'm still picking it out before it's accessible to me. There's different nuances. But l'chore, that's the machlaikas between the Baal and Yerushalmi. Either it's a machlaikas of how to define Seder, the open ekroni, right? Or it's how to define when something's considered to be already accessible to me. Alright? So now, then? Correct. I don't think that relates to this. It's related, but I don't think that's this text. That's what we were discussing yesterday. Right? And they say, Kaylin Lashokhan Aruch, they say the Morgan Avram, the Tuf Sadi Zayin, Siv Kotten Bavaitan. And you see there's a Maram Machum, and this is a Gilead type of Siv Chayim. That relates to what we discussed yesterday, whether fishing is called Koitzer or not. Eikidov Megidula. So Yerushalmi holds that fishing is Eikidov Megidula. Related to yesterday's year. And it could be related to today's year in practice. Abaisa was the min. But in terms of just to finish up this Nakuda of Tzeda. So what we're suggesting over here is that according to the Bavli, picking the Tzeda out of its, when it's waterborne, so that is an act of Tzeda, either because I'm further confining the Chilozim, or I'm making something accessible to me that may only become accessible later on when it gets washed up. And you have to remember that according to the Gemara, the Bavli, it's once in 70 years when they get washed up. Right? So it's not at all comparable to a domesticated animal. And the Yerushalmi, I have to assume the type of thing that sees.
Yerushalmi would say either that something which has no motion on its own, and instead of being carried by the water, that's not called. So when I pick it up, I'm not really confining it. It is confined. It's confined by the water. So now I'm confining it. I haven't significantly changed its freedom. It's either water dependent or it's speed dependent. Nope. That's not called Seinu. Right? Or the and therefore the Yerushalmi would say that Seidas Chilazim is not Seidim. Seidas Tochash may not be Seidim. The same reason, because Yerushalmi brought it to me. So when I trapped the Tochash, it's not I haven't made it more confined. So again, so what we're saying is the following. What we're saying is that you can define Seidim one of two ways. If you define it as confining the animal, confining the animal to a greater extent than it was confined before, then chilazim may not be subject to tzeda. Mashenikin, if you look at tzeda as making the animal accessible to you, so then you could define it as tzeda. Right? So the Babli would say that tzeda is defined as making the chilazim accessible. So therefore, tzad chilazim is chiyuv chatas. And the Yerushalmi may say that saying that it's confining it, whether it's confined by me or by its being waterborne, that may not be a significant difference. That could be the nekudas hamachloek. I mentioned a few different ways of, a few different nuances you could say. But what you're saying right now is the clearest way. That the Bavli would say that a tzad chilazim is, that Seda is making something accessible, and therefore there is such thing as tzad chilazim, it's waterborne. And Yerushalmi would say that Seda is defined as confining the chilazim, and whether it's confined by its by water or by myself, that's not significantly different enough. Alright? So now according to the Bavli, there is such a thing as tzeda, and therefore it gets listed in the Mishnah, it gets listed in the Tzvi, so we'll define it properly. And according to Yerushalmi, if you hold there's no tzedes chilazim, then there's no tzedes tachash as well. Right? And therefore the Yerushalmi holds that, and therefore the Yerushalmi has a position that holds that there's no malach of tzedes b'chla. Yeah?
There was the Bavli holds that tzedes can find something.
Yerushalmi holds that you're obsessed with that. No, I know. I said it differently. I switched up stuff. Right?
Bobby so successful?
Well, figure it out. Don't figure it out. Because I began by looking at the snail when it's beached already. But Lahore, it makes more sense to look at the issue when the snail is not beached. Right? If you look at it when the snail is beached, look at it one way. But I think it makes more sense to say that we're talking about a chilazin that's not beached. A chilazin that's floating in the water. See if you say it that way. And that's why you'll see. That's why I think it's clearer to say it this way. I think it's clearer to say that it's an unbeached snail. So therefore, if you'll tell me that, and I go into the water and pick up the snail. Right? So the Bavli says that is called Seder. Yerushalmi says that's not called Seder. Right? So the Bavli says it is called Seda, right? So you could argue that what I'm doing is I am making that until now the snail is not accessible. Now that is accessible to me. So therefore that's called Seda. It's not Nitzo. Mashenikin, you could say that the snail, when it's being controlled by the water, is already confined. If you look at Malach of Tzeda as confining the animal is confined already. Only thing is whether it's whether the water is moving or whether I'm moving it. So in terms of the perspective of the animal is equally confined whether it's in the water or whether it's in my hand. Doesn't have that much independent movement. Mashenik, and you look at accessibility, and the world is different. When it's flowing on the water, it's inaccessible to me. When I pick it up, now I can be put say, and I can get the chilas out of it. The chilas out of it. Right? So that could be the fundamental issue in terms of understanding Seder. That could be why the Bavli would say that Seder, that the Divin Seder is Chilozer and it isn't, and define Seder, and then define it as Tzatzvi, so we'll get the exact definition of it. And the Yerushalmi has to Shita that, and once you have Yost, the Yerushalmi says that Seder's Chilozer is not Seder. It's a Machlaik, you have to remember, it's a Machlaik, it's a Nam in Yerushalmi. And therefore, there's not saying in Mishkan, which is consistent with saying that Tafash doesn't give you Tzeda. Because it's also lacking, by the way, it's both confined and probably accessible. So that would explain why the Yerushalmi would then say that she told that there is that same Zaman that was no office. Because it wasn't in Mishkan. Okay, stop here. 11.
Was that?
No.
No second chair. I forgot I have a question.